And coming at you now is the August 5th, 2018 edition of Bathrobes, Pierre's Broadsides. That's my show. I'm Robert North. Be with you for, gosh, well, my current voice will be with you for not terribly long. I'm kind of running out of voice power and preparing the show. So I'm going to give you listeners a lot of flashbacks. There's going to be a longer one from October 6, 2001, the first night of the Occupy Santa Cruz encampment. When I actually stayed the night there. That was one of the few nights I actually stayed. Maybe it was the only night I stayed at the Occupy Santa Cruz encampment throughout the night. I think I may have stayed in my car. This Occupy Santa Cruz lasted from October, beginning of October, to the beginning of December, and thereafter, people continued to gather for the next month on and off as this authorities shut down things by suddenly declaring it illegal. Well, they set up a curfew around the county building. And then a month later, they began prosecution of some of us for having gone in the building at 75 River Street that was leased by Wells Fargo and taken over by a group of occupiers, none of whom were part of that Occupy, well, part of the group that was prosecuted, the Santa Cruz 11, as we called ourselves. Anyway, also going to be getting into an earlier flashback, which I don't think I've ever played on the air. I might have, but I don't know for sure. It's from 2002, and I'm really doing it as part of a historic kind of document so that people can have a record of it. It's the Citizens Police Review Board hearing on the Sherry Conable resolution seeking to require the city council to look into selective enforcement by the Santa Cruz Police Department, which, of course, is a notorious and longtime bad habit or, I don't know, perennial method of operation that they use. This was in 2 months before the 3 months before the board was disbanded, should we say, aborted by the city council. I think largely in response to this kind of action, also concerns about the use of force by the police, by the police department's habit of treating inquiries as not worthy of complaint status, of various other forms of institutional police abuse in Santa Cruz, which I've tried to continue to question over the years, some of them anyway. It's also going to be Hiroshima Day on August 6th. That's the day that the U.S. military, I should say, the U.S. government, murdered 100,000, well, what is it, 80,000 to 100,000 Japanese civilians in Hiroshima. And there have been a couple of documentaries done on this. I've only kind of skimmed through them, but I wanted to sort of play something about that. And so I'm going to play you something, a 28-minute RT. That's the Russian-based station. It's Russiagate coming at you. That's going to be one thing. Another thing is going to be a lecture by a guy called Professor James Duane, who I think is an attorney at Regent Law School. He's a Regent Law professor anyway, wherever that school is. I think it's East Coast stuff. It's a YouTube video. You'll be hearing the audio portion of that, where he's going to give viewers reasons why they should always exercise their Fifth Amendment rights when questioned by government officials, which is, I got nothing to say, bite me. Well, or you can put it more courteously if you wish. And it's a very interesting video, the parts of it that I've listened to, and you're going to get a chance to hear it too. And if we have time, I'm going to play what I was going to play on Thursday, which is a interviews of Becky Johnson grilling Chris Crone when he was a council member way back when, in 2002, and had just become mayor, I believe. That's another item on the agenda for today's show. So stay tuned. Thank you.
I'm tired of moon songs, of star and of June songs. They simply make me nap. And ditties romantic drive me nearly frantic. I think they're all full of pap. History's making, nations are quaking. Why sing of stars above? For while we are waiting, Father Time's creating new things to be singing of. Sing me a song with social significance. All other tunes are taboo. I want a ditty with heat in it, appealing with feeling and meat in it. Sing me a song with social significance, or you can sing till you're blue. Let meaning shine from every line, or I won't love you.
So I'm on the line here with Keith McHenry, and maybe we can get this interview going. You're out there serving food to the folks. How's it going out there? It's the beginning of the month, so I take it the numbers are down.
Yeah, there was less people, and we have tons of food, and we also cooked a meal for the band that's Afro jazz band, Sammy Cootie. So we visited with him on his bus and brought him food, and he's playing tonight at the Catalyst. And it's an activist in Nigeria that I have got the opportunity to meet when I was visiting with Food on Bombs over there.
So
it's been quite a day getting all that together.
So has he come over and played for the hungry and the generally sometimes houseless?
No. He was pretty burned out when we saw him because he just drove up from a concert in L.A.
So you're just dropping a few names. Is that the idea there, Keith?
Am I dropping a what?
A few names, you know.
Lagos
to Santa Cruz to see you? Or?
Yeah.
Wow. Well,
see me. I play music and make a living.
I see. Yeah, that's a long way to go. I hear you. You are trying to... This is the 30th anniversary of the first arrest of Food Now Bombs coming up, according to the flyer, which you passed on to me, I guess, when we ran into each other at the Senior Center. Did you sample the food, or did you just come in and do a little flyering?
That I'm interested in. I'm more like a vegan, organic type of person.
One of our crusades, or one of my crusades, one of the things I've been working on is, and you too, actually, because you're part of Conscious in Action, is to get the Loudoun Nelson bathrooms reopened. Seniors, some of them anyway, have expressed some really even bitter resentment that they're medically stressed and really feel somewhat humiliated by not having clear access to the bathrooms. One activist even told me that she couldn't get into the bathrooms at all the day before, I guess we were there on Friday, we ran into each other there, you and I. Have you had any reports from, because some seniors do come to the Food Not Bombs meals on Saturday and Sunday at the post office, right?
Yeah, no one has reported problems down that end of town to me. So that's been really favorable.
Well, that's good.
Sure, there is hassle there, but I haven't run into anybody that any conflict themselves directly with it.
Now, what about your plan to establish a porta potty through the consent of the neighbors? I know you set one up about 2-3 months ago, and it suddenly disappeared, even though it had all been paid for. And I think you suspected or even learned the city was responsible for pulling the plug or flushing it away or something.
Yeah, they had called up the company and had it removed. And people at the post office were disappointed, and Vets Hall was disappointed it was gone. And Lulu's was upset that it disappeared. So, yeah, there's been, like, a certain neighborhood, anger that it's gone.
And then you subsequently
talked. I haven't really spent the energy to get back into trying to get a letter campaign going or something about that.
I mean, I know you talked to Martine Bernal about that in a meeting you subsequently had with a bunch of us.
Get back to him to see see if he's going to give us a permit.
He's the city manager, and he seemed to, you know, he implied, though it's really hard to tell if he said it, that if you could get the neighbors to back you in seeking a porta potty, either he would back it or maybe he'd encourage the city. He didn't actually say anything explicitly at all.
Hopefully that'll happen. I just haven't had the energy with that. I've got like a couple of other things happening, and one of them is this new ordinance, the statewide law that was on that flyer, the
AB 2178.
Yeah, yeah. So I've been kind of more a little focused on that than on the bathrooms, really. But
that's the limited service charitable.
Making sure the meal comes out every.
Limited service charitable feeding operation, I think, is what.
That's the name of it. Yeah.
Have you had any communications with the clowns who are behind this?
Yeah, well, I haven't actually spoken directly to the woman that organized it, but the I did actually have correspondence with the original person that proposed it in 2013, and at least who alerted me to the threat of this. And I told him it was unnecessary, that we didn't really need his help. And so, you know, that's been part of the thing. There's the idea that you might need help.
Who was this?
And that was one of the members of the California Association of Environmental Health Managers. And he's from Mendoza. I think he was from Modesto, the health inspector, head of the environmental health inspection in Modesto.
Was he trying to help, or was he trying to shut down Modesto Food Not Bombs?
No, they think that they're trying to help. They have this impression that if they create a system where you can get a health permit, then that will be great, because they want everybody to have a health permit, and that somehow if the system was made more simple to get the health permit, then you'd get the health permit and then you could feed people, not realizing that actually what happens when all that goes on is you end up in a total chaos where you can't really get the permit and it's a mess. So,
well, I know that in the past, Keith, both you and activists in Santa Cruz, this was decades ago, were arrested and actually jailed, and some even tried and enjoined under a state, essentially, I guess it's the 90-day, you can serve food only three times in 90 days unless you have a certified kitchen. Is that law still on the books?
In what city? In Santa Cruz?
No, this was statewide. This was a state code.
I've never had a problem with the state law so far. I've had no interaction with state laws.
Interesting.
So only local city laws are the only things that I've been connected with.
Yeah, I know that in 1992, that's what the city went after activists under. Actually, no, it was in 1989. And they arrested people who were feeding at the town clock as a, you know, both to provide.
I don't know. Yeah, because in San Francisco, it was always like that we need a permit, but they had no real logic as to what the permit was. So
is that a system being used in other California cities, that is to say this demand for a permit and then, you know, revealing there's no permit price?
Soy milk. Yeah. There's just seems like it's local city ordinances that typically are the problem. And here, one second. I'm thinking we should maybe take this to the, you think some of this will fit in Joe's refrigerator?
And, of course, Keith is dismantling the meal as we speak.
You don't think it will fit? Uh-huh. But what about if we... Maybe we should remove the vegetables out.
While he's talking about that, we'll look a little bit at this legislation, which he's concerned about. It's AB 2178. Establishes a limited service charitable feeding operation as a new category of regulated food facility whose food service is limited to storage and distribution of still there, Keith?
Yeah, we're still here. We're trying to figure it's the closing and we got a lot of extra food today and I'm trying to figure out what to do with it. And trying to figure out the logistics.
Gotcha.
So.
Well, what I can do is I can read a little of this flyer that you actually have put together. And is there anything you want to encourage people to do with respect to this ordinance?
The thing is that this new ordinance that they're referring to, which you can read some parts of, which is in the flyer, would make it so that every county would then have to determine, basically a set under their guidelines, a series of laws that you would have to be in compliance with, and you have to pay a fee, yet to be determined, to the county. And the thing is, like in Santa Cruz, we would be able to get away with it probably, and not be bothered by the Environmental Health Department. But in other, almost all the other counties where they're trying to get rid of food on bombs, and they might believe that they don't have the strength to fight back the way we would here, it could end up shutting down many, many church soup kitchens and food on bombs and so on all throughout the state. And so that's why we're opposed to this ordinance. And there's actually quite a number of pretty prominent hunger relief groups in California that are, more like grassroots and on the street type groups are coalescing behind opposition to this. So there's going to be a conference call and a meeting in 2 weeks in LA to determine a more solid strategy, but there is an address of the woman proposing it. And I think she just thinks that she just doesn't understand what the story is and believes that maybe people might get sick eating at the soup kitchens. And my sense is she really is just a young, naive politician that wants the best for the homeless but did not really think it through, what a barrier this law would be to literally many, many food programs in the state.
You've just finished a meal today, Saturday. I know you got to go quickly here, but any reports of violence incidents with respect to homeless people in the last week that you've heard? Because I haven't heard anything in the last day or two, but when I was getting reports earlier in the week, there were some claims of a number of homeless deaths recently. Have you heard anything about that?
Yeah, we do know four people have died, but I don't know all the details in the recent last couple of weeks. And the only one that I heard a little bit about was the person that was found in the river. But apparently there was three other deaths as well, and I don't know the details of that. So.
Gotcha. Any other reports about cantankerous activities downtown or thereabouts which might... that impact poor people.
I haven't heard any particular things about that, no.
Well, that could be good.
I'm pretty immersed in writing this book and trying to get through it and trying to keep up with the Saturday, Sunday meal. And this issue of banning, making it difficult to get food served in California.
So we're recording.
I have lots of nice chats with people living on the streets, but no one has reported any.
Well, that's good.
Specific things, so.
I mean, at least it's good that they haven't reported any... violent assaults.
Yeah. I've had some really wonderful conversations with people, but no one has actually said anything negative about that.
So you'll be doing your meal again on Sunday, right after this show is aired.
Yep.
It's 4 to 6. People can come down and sample the cuisine, which, I'm getting more and more positive comments. I may even, dare to taste the food myself one of these days, Keith.
Oh, well, I hope you do, because it's pretty good.
Hey.
Okay, and I better go, you guys. Take care, Bob. Bye-bye.
You take care, man.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And that's Keith McHenry of Food Not Bombs. You can reach him by going to Facebook's Santa Cruz Food Not Bombs page, checking him out there. That's probably a good place to start. Or look for Keith McHenry under Food Not Bombs. If you just browse, you can probably get another website or two to go to. And since we're getting archaic in this show, or flashing back anyway, here's a song or two from older times. The reign of President George Bush, the second Bush to Bush's way forward.
The weapon of fear. Our nation has only one option. The weapon of fear, terror, and death. Weapons of mass murder, tyranny, and our Our nation has only one option.
Corruption, tyranny in our world.
The weapon of fear. Connect the dots of the conspiracy. Law enforcement, intelligence, the military, and Homeland Security. The weapon of fear. Our nation has only one option.
Terror and death.
The weapon of fear. Connect the dots of the conspiracy. Our nation has only one option.
Corruption.
The weapon of fear.
Allowing the violent to inherit the earth.
Our nation has only one option.
Weapons of mass destruction. Tyranny in our world.
The weapon of fear. Connect the dots of the conspiracy.
We seek tyranny in our world.
If this were a dictatorship, it'd be a heck of a lot easier.
We seek
the weapon of fear.
Just so long as I'm a dictator.
We seek to impose a heartless system of totalitarian control throughout the Middle East.
And war is what they got.
Some dismiss that goal as misguided idealism.
But we're going to smoke them out.
In reality, an ideology of terror and death.
Fool me once.
Terror and death,
weapons of mass murder,
tyranny in our world,
poverty,
corruption,
and despair,
organized crime,
and human trafficking,
and the drug trade,
into an ideology of terror and death.
Our nation has only one option.
The weapon of fear,
fear,
fear.
Bring them on. Our war president.
May God bless America.
The weapon of fear.
That's from an old CD, George Bush 2007, that apparently was bopping around the Free Radio Santa Cruz headquarters when we actually had a studio in the old days. I'll be playing a few more from this George Bush album, which doesn't have a name. It needs to sell 57 million copies of this CD every day to pay for the war in Iraq. And of course, there are risings in Iraq again against the what essentially is a puppet U.S. government there. And the reason I go back to the Bush stuff is first from a shortage of material, but also it's the same game. It's the same thing. The names have changed, but the defense budget has gotten even bigger. And you people who rant and rave about Trump, as they should, but don't rant and rave about Trumpism, which is something they really should do but aren't doing, don't realize that the same kind of thing was going on under Obama. And I guess it's really important to get to the roots of this, and that's what my show tries to at least push for.